everyone. It's a privilege for me to stand here for the talk, and for this I thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity. The topic of my presentation is exploitation of wild sizes species for enriching genetic variability for chickpea improvement. And in this presentation, I will discuss about the importance of the crop and the constraints which are associated with which limits the genetic improvement of cultivated chickpea around the globe. And then I will talk about the utilization of wild sizes species, like how they can contribute significantly for the improvement of the chickpea crop as a whole. And then in this context, for the utilization of wild sizes species for chickpea improvement, I'll try to give you an overview of what has been done so far, where we are now, and how we would like to move forward in the years to come. And finally, I'll conclude my presentation. Regarding the importance of the crop, chickpea is an important self-pollinated diploid cool season leguminous crop which ranked third in the production after common beans and the dry peas. And this is grown mainly for its protein-rich seeds. Beside the high protein content, the chickpea seeds, they are also rich in mineral, fiber, unsaturated fatty acids and beta carotene. And due to the high nutritional content, this crop is very important for the human consumption, and it will help to address the issue of malhunger and nutrition which is prevailing among the smallholder farmers in the developing countries. The major limitation of the crop is due to its low productivity, which is less than 1 ton per hectare. And this is because the crop is grown in the marginal land under rain-fed conditions, and the crop is attacked by a number of diseases like Botrytis gray mold, Fusarium wilt, pod borer, and then the number of abiotic stresses like drought, heat, salinity. And nowadays in India, dry root rot is emerging as a major threat, which is sometimes causing 100% yield losses in case of chickpea. So due to these constraints, the most of the breeding objectives, they are focusing on developing the cultivars having high and stable yield, early maturity, cultivars having high level of resistance for these diseases, as well as high level of tolerance for abiotic stresses, coupled with high nutritional quality traits. But to achieve these objectives, we need to have a wide range of genetic diversity. Unfortunately, like other crops, chickpea also has a narrow genetic base. And I heard quite a number of presenters which have already focusing on and they are addressing the issue of this narrow genetic base in the crop cultivars, and this is really challenging for us as well. Under such situation, the utilization of plant genetic resources will provide a good answer, because they are the reservoir of many useful genes, and they can provide the sufficient genetic variability which is needed for the crop improvement programs. And for chickpea, over 98,000 germplasm accessions have been conserved in different gene banks worldwide. And at ICRISAT, we have over 20,000 germplasm accessions, which include 308 wild sizer accessions, and they are conserved from 60 countries. For chickpea improvement, in genus sizer, sufficient genetic diversity is present in form of 43 wild sizer species, of which 8 are annual and 35 are perennial type. Because chickpea is an annual crop, so at present we are also focusing on exploiting the variability present in 8 annual wild sizer species. And this table, it shows the distribution of these 308 accessions across 8 annual and 10 perennial, what we have conserved in our gene bank. Large number of these 308 accession, they have been screened by the pathologist and entomologist at ICRISAT, and they have identified the accessions having high level of resistance to important diseases which I mentioned just now, like for Escochyta blight, Botrytis gray mold, pod borer, leaf miner, as well as high level of tolerance for abiotic stresses like drought and cold. But although these accessions have been identified, they are available in the gene bank, these are not being used in the chickpea improvement program. And very few accessions, like we can count them on number, not more than 10 has been utilized in the chickpea improvement program. And the reason is because these wild sizer species, they have not been characterized for the important traits. And because of this, the information on important traits like growth habit, their days to flowering, and the seed and the pot rate, it is not available. Second is the long duration of these wild size species, and because of which it is difficult to synchronize the flowering of these wild size species with the cultivated ones. Because of this reason, it becomes difficult to involve them on the routine basis in the hybridization program. And another major is the limited knowledge which is available on the cross stability pattern, as well as on the pattern of genetic diversity between the cultivated and the wild type. Even in case of cross compatible types, large number of generations are needed to generate the breeding material, and this is mainly because of the linkage drag which is associated with the utilization of wild species. Because of all these reasons, there lies a huge gap between the germplasm conserved in the gene bank and that of utilized in the breeding program. Because of the several difficulties which are associated with the utilization of these wild size species, breeders, they don't want to use them in the breeding program. They prefer working with their own working collection, which mainly consists of the elite breeding lines, and hence it keeps on circulating the same germplasm, resulting in the narrow genetic base of the crop cultivars. To bridge this gap, at ICRESET, focused pre-breeding program has been initiated, and which involves the evaluation of the species to identify the promising donors and hybridizing those donors with the popular and well-adapted cultivars to develop the pre-breeding population having a good agronomic background, and then evaluating those large size pre-breeding populations to identify the promising introgression lines. And in that case, identification of those introgression lines will ensure the continuous supply of the variability into this working collection, and it will help to develop the new cultivars with a broad genetic base, and which is our ultimate objective. When we started working with the wild size species, we found it difficult, and the difficulty was not because of the cross compatibility or incompatibility. The difficulty was due to the different phenology. These wild species, they have the different phenologies if we compare with the cultivated ones. When we grew them at our location in Patancheru, Hyderabad, India, most of the accession, they didn't flower under the natural conditions. And this is, it is there with the winter wheats also. And this response is mainly because of the day length sensitivity or due to the temperature sensitivity. So we designed one experiment in which we divided the 8 wild size species into the 4 sets. In one set, we exposed all the accession to the vanillation treatment, in which the germinated seedlings, they were given the 30 days cold treatment. And in another set, after transplanting, the plants were exposed to 24 hours extended day length treatment. And in third set, combination of both the treatments were given. And in the fourth set, it will left as control. And here, when we gave 1 month vanillation treatment to the wild size species, we got very promising results in terms of reduction in the number of days to first flowering. So these blue bars, you can see this is under control condition, where the accessions, they are taking a large number of time for the days to first flowering. And this we have taken 200 as a threshold, because this Sizer echinospermum, these 5 accession, they didn't flower even after 200 days under the field conditions. So we are just taking it as a threshold level. But when vanillation treatment was given, these accession, they flower somewhere between 40 to 60 days. So these are really promising results, and this happens across all the species, both within and as well as between the species. Similar results we found for the extended day length treatment as well. Here also, when they were grown under 24 hours extended day length treatment, all the accessions in all 8 wild size species, they flower within 50 days. Here you can see. Similar results we found when they were given the combination of both the treatment, vanillation as well as the extended day length treatment. Overall, here you can see, on this basis, actually we concluded that these wild size species, they carry both vanillization as well as photoperiod responsive genes. However, their predominance, it varies between the species. Here you can see, these are the reticulatum echinospermum, where they are behaving almost at par for both the treatments, but the differences we observe for these two species. Here you can see they were more responsive for the vanillation treatment rather than for the photoperiod one. So after this these experiments, they have the major implication for us on the both side of the breeding pipeline. On the first side, these results, they are helpful for us for the efficient characterization and regeneration of wild cycle species at our location where we have comparatively high temperature, and it was not possible to regenerate them and, under the field condition at our location. And on the other side, these treatments, they have helped to synchronize the flowering with the cultivated ones. So now, after using these treatments, we are involving them in the frequent basis in the breeding program, and we have started developing the pre-breeding populations. So using these treatments, we are developing the pre-breeding population, and for development we are following the two approaches. One is the simple cross, that is the biparental approach, where we are crossing the reticulatum with the cultivated one, and in the second, for developing the another population, we are using Echinospermum as a donor, and then using those biparental crosses approach, we are developing the population. But then we thought of combining the genes from different species into the common genetic background so that we can release the maximum genetic variability. And for this, we are following the complex three-way cross approach, in which we are first generating the F1 by using reticulatum and Echinospermum, and then that F1 is being crossed with the cultivated one. And further, to constitute the genetic background of the cultivated ones, we are following the advanced backcross approach. Following this, we have developed the two population, one in Desi. There are two ecotypes are there in chickpea, I forgot to tell you. One is Desi, which are small seeded brown colored seed, which we say those are the Desi type, and another is large seeded beige colored type, which is Kabuli type. So in both the background, we have developed two populations. So here you can see this is, and here you can see the variability for seed traits. This is the population which we have generated after two back crosses. This is the population generated after single back cross, and this is the simple F2 populations. So here also we wanted to know that how many back crosses should we make so as to constitute the good agronomic background. And here we found that although the seed size was not a problem, in F3 we got the accession having bold seeded type, but all these seeds, they were tuberculated. In case of the population where only single back cross was made, most of the plants, they were spreading type, and the sterility was a major problem. But when the two back crosses were made in BC2 F1 generation, the sterility was reduced. It was less than 5% plants were sterile, and we could generate, and we could identify the introgression lines where the seed size is as good as the cultivated type with a minimum linkage track. So following similar approach, we have developed another population in the Kabuli background. So this is ICCV95311, which is the a popular Kabuli cultivar. So in this background, again we have developed this population, and here you can see the variability for the seed trait. Here you can see the mean and range for the different agronomic trait across these three populations. So we are mainly concerned with this one, where we have identified the introgression lines which are early flowering, as well as some of the introgression line where we harvested more than 700 pods. And when we talk about the number of seed, it is more than 800. And these are those introgression lines where we have harvested more than 700 seeds per plant. Similar pattern we observed for the another population, which was in the Kabuli background. Here also we have identified the introgression lines having early flowering, as well as having high number of pod and the seed per plant. And these are those lines where we have harvested around 500 seeds per plant. The objective of this study is not to show that we have improved the agronomic background. The objective of this slide was to show that we have developed the pre-breeding population where we have constituted the genetic background of the cultivated ones, because a set of these populations were screened for Escochyta blight and Botrytis gray mold, and we have identified the introgression lines which have the combined level and that too high level of resistance for both the diseases. Although when we selected the reticulatum one, reticulatum was having high level of resistance for Escochyta blight, but was susceptible to BGM, Botrytis gray mold. Whereas Echinospermum was having the high level of resistance for BGM, but was susceptible to AB. But in this introgression lines, we have identified high level of resistance for both the diseases. So this was actually our preliminary experiment where we wanted to combine the genes from the different sources into a common background, and it has given us a really, can I take 2 more minutes? Thank you. So it has given us a good boost, and now what we are trying to do is our chickpea breeding program, we are focusing on developing heat tolerant chickpea cultivars. And in heat-tolerant cultivars, the dry root rot is a major problem, as I told you just now. So we are trying to introgress the level of resistance from reticulatum and echinospermum into the common background. So these are the reticulatum accession where we have identified the high level of resistance for DRR, and this is the echinospermum accession. So now we want to see whether after combining the dry root, the resistance for dry root rot can be enhanced, or what kind of results we can get, but we are hopeful that we will get some good results out of this research. And second project in which we are trying to introgress the BGM resistance from different species into the common background, and here we are combining that with the short duration one. Similar project we are carrying out for the pod borer, because pod borer is not a straight way trait. There are several components which are associated with the pod borer resistance, and different species have those different components responsive governing the resistance, and we are trying to introgress those different components from different species into the common background. So these three projects we are at present working on. And thanks to Dr. Rajiv Ashne, he just now he left, he has developed a number of genomic resources in chickpea, which has helped us to increase the precision and the efficiency of these pre-breeding populations. So we are using these genomic resources, and by using this we will try to identify the important marker trait association, which will help for further utilization of the chickpea breeding program. So finally, as a take-home message, these wild species, they are really very important, and they provide the novel genes for the crop improvement program. And at ICRISAT, utilization of the techniques like extended photo period and the vernalization, it has increased the efficiency of our pre-breeding program to a larger extent, and the pre-breeding populations having enormous genetic variability, that too in good agronomic background, have been developed. And thanks to the genomic resources, which has increased the precision and the efficiency of our breeding program, and we look forward for developing good introgression lines, which will ensure the good amount of genetic variability being available for in the readily usable for the breeder to develop the new cultivars with a broad genetic base. And I take this opportunity to thank my supervisor and mentor, Dr. H.T. Upadhyay, for his constant support and encouragement to carry out these activities. My thanks is also due to Dr. Rajiv Ashne, one of my collaborators in ICRISAT, as well as the pathologist, physiologist, entomologist, and a special thanks to Government of India, Department of Science and Technology, because I received the funding for developing these two populations from Government of India. And thanks to you all for your kind attention. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.